let's go, guys. Parshas Chukas. We're on to one of my favorite psukim in the parsha. To understand what Moshe Rabbeinu did wrong when it came to Mei Merivah. We know he did something wrong. But what was it? What exactly happened? It says, in Parak Kav Pasuk Yod, Vayakilu Moshe Aharon HaKahal al Pnei HaSela. They gathered the people. Moshe Rabbeinu gathered all the people to the front of the rock. Vayom Elam, and he said to them, Shimu Na Hamorim, listen now, O rebellious ones. Hamin HaSela Zen Notzi L'Chamayim. Do you think that we are going to bring water for you from this rock? Do you think water is actually going to come from this rock? Now, the purpose of this shiur is going to explain why Moshe Rabbeinu used these words while talking to Klal Yisrael and why he was punished so severely for this term. What exactly did he do wrong? The way we're going to concentrate on it is we're going to go three basic ideas. Rashi, the Rambam, with a mem, and the Ramban, with a nun. Those three main ideas. But the truth is, I have 15 other answers that deal with this pasuk directly. Now, this is altogether, I would say these are 18 of the probably hundreds of answers as to what happened with Mei Merivah. But I'm not concentrating on all of Mei Merivah. I'm concentrating on what the issue was with this pasuk in Mei Merivah. And for that, I have 18 basic answers. We're going to go through Rashi in this order as well. Rashi, the Rashbam, Shach and the Or HaChaim HaKadosh, Rashi and the Rambam, the Ksav Sofer, Tzror Hamor number 1, Das Sekenim number 1, the Ramban Rush Das Sekenim number 2 in Chizkuni, that's all number 8, number 9, Chsam Sofer in Drushos, number 10, Chsam Sofer, 11, Ksav HaKabbalah, number 12, the Malvim, number 13, Rav Schwab, number 14, Tzror Hamor number 2, number 15, Tiferes Shlomo, number 16, Rav Sternbach, number 17, the Netziv, number 18, and our last one will be the Chsam Sofer in Torah's Moshe. I'm not even going to go into that first Rashi, we'll get to it later on. What happened exactly? So Rashi says they couldn't identify which rock it was, the one that needed to be spoken to in order to bring forth water. The rock on its own walked away. We don't understand this at all, but the truth is that the rock, the Be'er Shel Miriam, rolled with them throughout the Midbar. So clearly this is a rock that had the ability to move. After Miriam died, the rock rolled away on its own, went away, and Moshe Rabbeinu couldn't find it. The people were restless, they were weary, even though Miriam had just passed away, they did not mourn her properly. They said to Moshe, what difference does it make if you use this rock or that rock? HaKadosh Baruch Hu can do anything. If God can do anything, do you need this rock that Miriam had in order to bring forth water? Bring forth water from any rock. Moshe responded by calling them Morim. Rashi says that means either refuseniks as in you won't listen to me, or fools who try to teach those who are trying to teach them. He said, how could you do this? The Me'ashiloch, as a side note, says there are no bigger fools than those who think they can teach their teachers. If they think they can teach their teachers, there are no bigger fools than that. There's a Tzor Lateva as well that goes into this. He says, do you think, said Moshe, that we can bring forth water from these rocks? We weren't commanded to bring water from these rocks, says Rashi, and therefore we can't bring water from these rocks. It's not that God can't do it. It's that HaKadosh Baruch Hu commanded us to bring forth water from a certain rock, not from this one. Therefore, we have to find the right rock. We have to find the right one. Until we find it, there's nothing we can do. That's how Rashi looks at it, and that's what he was answering. The Yelis HaShachar points out, it's understandable that miracles happen when you have a rock that's rolling along with you in the desert because it's there for water. What's not understandable at all is that a miracle happened that the water moved away in order to test Klal Yisrael and to test Moshe Rabbeinu. That's a pella. Why in the world did the rock have to move around that way? That's a very, very strange thing. It's similar to the Satan being able to test Klal Yisrael with Moshe Rabbeinu's death at Har Sinai, right, when they saw Moshe Rabbeinu's body. Why is the Satan allowed to do that? Similarly, this rock was moved around just to test them. The Yelis HaShachar points it out. He says it's very strange that a miracle happened for this to happen, but nonetheless, that seems to be what happened over here. The Me'ashiloach explains that essentially Moshe was saying, miracles don't just happen. Even Nisim need a Seder in this world. There's a process. And if you don't follow through on that process, there are consequences and the miracle won't occur. When Bnei Yisrael said, just bring it forth from any rock, they said, Moshe Aaron said, that wasn't what we were told to do. We can't just pull miracles out of nowhere. Of course, God could do anything. But if Hashem said this, then there has to be a process. We have to do this. We have no choice. Now, the pshat is that his punishment was so severe because he knew There had already been a nevuah. The nevuah was that Yoshua was going to bring them into Klal Yisrael, bringing them into Eretz Yisrael. Here was the problem. He claims later on, God, you can do anything. So even though there was a nevuah that Yoshua is going to bring them into Eretz Yisrael, can't you change it so that I can bring them into Eretz Yisrael? After all, God, can't you do anything? And here's the punishment. You ready? Kadosh Baruch Hu said back to him, aren't you the one that said to Klal Yisrael that miracles don't just happen? There needs to be a process and there are certain ideas, certain things you can do. So too, when you go into Eretz Yisrael, that would take a miracle. Miracles take a process. You weren't involved in that process, and therefore, no, you can't go into Eretz Yisrael. Can't, it's sort of that question that you always get asked. Whenever I do a question-answer session with kids, the first or second or third question is always, can God make a rock that's so heavy that even he can't lift it? Why the kids sound that way, I have no idea. Right? But that's the first, second, or third question. And the answer is, of course, HaKadosh Baruch Hu can do anything. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu made limitations for himself in this world so that the world runs through Midas HaRachamim and Midas HaDin along with Chesed on the side so that the world can run in the way that it's supposed to run. Can HaKadosh Baruch Hu do anything? Of course HaKadosh Baruch Hu can supersede anything. But he doesn't so that the world runs in a natural fashion. Even the miracles, which are supernatural. They're still within the realm of the natural world, not totally out of whack with everything. And that's the idea that we're saying over here, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has somewhat of a seder to it. The Gur Aryeh, the way the Maharal understands this Rashi, is that Moshe Rabbeinu had already tried speaking to a rock. He tried speaking to a rock, and it didn't give forth any water. So he thought, maybe I misunderstood HaKadosh Baruch Hu's directive. But he didn't know. He said, wait, maybe I got the wrong rock. And maybe I'm not supposed to speak to it, maybe I'm supposed to hit it. Now he's confused, because when he spoke to that first rock, thinking that was the rock of Miriam, and it wasn't it, he sat there and he said, I got something wrong, I don't know what it is. So the people looked at Moshe and said, why can't any rock do? To which he said back, he said, picked up one of the rocks there. He said, do you think I can bring forth water from this rock? I can't just bring forth water from a rock. Says the Gur Aryeh, an unbelievable Gur Aryeh. Listen to this Maharal. He picked up the right rock. He spoke to the first rock, which was wrong. And then he picked up a random rock, but that was it. And he said, you think I could bring forth water from any rock? He took his staff, hit it, to show them I can't just bring forth water from anything, but it was the right rock. So it started trickling out with water. Then he put it down and he hit it again, and the water came forth. That's what happened, says the Gur Aryeh. He accidentally happened upon the right rock the second time around. And why didn't he speak to it? He spoke to the first one, but he accidentally got involved with the second rock and hit it, accidentally just showing the people, I can't just do anything. And it turned out that he'd had the right rock the whole time. Yeah, it did.
Yeah, so I don't understand why this even matters.
Why what matters?
Like, I'm saying the point is that if we're saying that Moshe got punished for this, but he tried, he spoke to it, he got the wrong, like, why is it so confusing to find the right rock? Like, what's the whole...
The way that the Gur Aryeh is understanding, of course there's something else going on over here. According to the Gur Aryeh, however, the pshat that he's trying to say in Rashi as to what the mistake was, is that he never should have tried being... And again, this is Moshe Rabbeinu on his level. I don't want to say this in the wrong way. Never should have tried being sarcastic. Do you think I could bring this forth from any rock? He should have calmed himself down without any, no matter what the people were saying, and said, I need to find the right rock first. So instead of just randomly picking up a rock and hitting it to show them that you couldn't just bring water, he should have sat there not concentrating on what they were saying at all.
Is that what he was saying? Or was he saying, like, I don't do anything, this is all from Hashem? Like,
that was the problem. He didn't say that. And although the wording is, Hamina Sela Zanotzi Lechamayim, do you think we can just bring forth water? According to Rashi, that means, do you think God is going to allow us to bring forth water from just any rock? He was saying, no, it's limited, it's only from one and not from any other, and that was a problem.
That way? Like, the same thing with the previous thing that you were saying before, like, why did he say what he said regarding I'm saying, with the rock, I'm saying, why is he saying that it can't come from any other rock, or that a miracle has to happen through a certain...
According to Rashi, well, the wording is interesting because it said before HaKadosh Baruch Hu told him to speak v'dibartam el ha-sela. The letter hey in front of any word usually indicates one specific rock. So he understood it as, oh, it's got to be one specific rock. And that's why he understood it that way. When HaKadosh Baruch Hu told him that, he said, oh, I can't just take it out from anything. That's how he understood it. We'll see, not everybody holds that way. Yeah.
Why one specific rock?
Why one specific robe? Meaning, why was this in the first place? Probably because he wanted to show that it was really Miriam's rock in the first place. So that's the way it was supposed to be. It was always supposed to be Miriam's rock, not anything different. But I think there's another way of looking at it. Hold on 1 second. There's another Rashi. The other Rashi says that when everybody was standing around over here, everyone found themselves in front of the rock. Do you notice how the pasuk said by Yakilu Moshe Aaron and Zakal al pnei asela? He put them all by the face of the rock. How in the world are you going to fit 3 million people around a rock? How can you do that? For that reason, Reb Aryeh Kaplan and the Living Torah, you know, the big purple chumash that looks like it belongs to a Reformed temple. So that chumash inside there, when it says al pnei asela, they all went by the rock. He says it's not a rock; it's a cliff. And it makes sense because you want to fit 3 million people around, you got to bring them to a huge area. So he brought them to a cliff and he made a waterfall. It was like a brilliant shot. But I don't know where he gets that from Sulla itself. He talks about it a little bit. But that's the idea behind it. So from this, there's something else. Rashi says, how did they all get to be El Pnei Sulla right by the face of the rock? It was a miracle. Everyone looked as if they were standing in front of the rock. They were just standing there and the rock was right in front of them. There's 3 million people. There's no way it could be in front of every single person. But every single person looked in front of them and recognized Miriam's rock in front of them. So every single person was like, Moshe Rabbeinu, I think this is it. Now Moshe Rabbeinu, this is the way I understand it, Moshe Rabbeinu heard them say that, and he said, what, are you kidding me? How in the world could the rock by you be the right one if this guy is saying, and that guy is saying the same thing? There's 3 million people that think that the right rock is right in front of them. How is that possible? So we picked up the rock that was in front of him, which was the same rock that was in front of every single person in Klal Yisrael, miraculously, and said, Amina Sela Zen Notzi Lechamayim. But it happened to be that was the right rock, and everyone saw it in front of them, and everything that was happening, it was unbelievably miraculous, where everyone saw it as if I am standing right there. Paul, yeah. Yeah.
Did he hold that? The reason why Moshe Rabbeinu doesn't go to Klal Yisrael is because he hit the rock, right?
That's yeah, instead of speaking.
But according to Aryeh, is it because after the first time he hit it or the second time?
It's really for the first time. I didn't want to get into the whole why he hit it twice. Okay. Right, but there is another point over there. The Rabbeinu B'chai and the Mi'am Lo'ez even take this a little further. They take the measures a little bit further. There were some really bad people in Klal Yisrael who did not let it go at that. They saw Moshe Rabbeinu searching through the desert looking for a rock, and they said, hey guys, you know why Moshe Rabbeinu is doing this? Anybody remember what Moshe Rabbeinu did before he became the leader of Klal Yisrael? What was his job? He was a shepherd. He's used to grazing with sheep in the forests and in the fields and the deserts. And he knows where to find these rocks that have wells underneath them. He's an expert at this stuff. They said, you think he's looking for the rock of Miriam and he's looking for a miracle? No. Moshe Rabbeinu knows how to find natural well springs by looking for rocks. That's what he's doing right now. He's searching around looking for a well that's underneath the rock. That's what he's doing. That's what he's trying to do. And therefore, if HaKadosh Baruch Hu really wanted to bring forth water, you know what he would have done? He would have just brought it forth. He doesn't need to find any specific rock. So they looked at Moshe and they're like, you're not looking for a miracle, are you? You're not doing a miracle right now. You're doing something natural. And that angered Moshe Rabbeinu. Moshe Rabbeinu looked at them and said, you don't think this is a miracle from HaKadosh Baruch Hu? You think this is me as a shepherd finding water? He was so upset at them, that's where he forgot what he was doing and hit the rock instead of speaking to the rock. It was their line, they're berating him, they're saying that he was doing it naturally that got Moshe Rabbeinu so upset. All of that is the first pshat of Rashi itself. The Rashbam has another pshat. I'm not going into the Rashbam right now, but it's there. The Shach and the Or HaChaim HaKadosh go into it as well. The idea of, remember we said before that the way Rashi understands it, there's only one rock, you can't hit any other rock, and that's that. The Shach and the Or HaChaim HaKadosh go the exact opposite. You could hit any rock you wanted. When Hashem said, V'dibartam al HaSola, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, you'll speak to the rock, it really could have been any rock. Any rock could have been there. And Hasela means whatever rock they choose. Really, what HaKadosh Baruch Hu was saying to Moshe is, let the people choose. And Moshe Rabbeinu understood it as, hit the rock of Miriam. And because that was it's so hard to say something like this. The Or HaChaim HaKadosh says, it was not a mess up in Drusha. This is part of what Nevuah is. Nevuah is about translation. And sometimes the translation is not clear. But we know Moshe Rabbeinu was Peh Daberbo. For him to have messed up something like this is so hard. But the Or HaChaim HaKadosh and the Shach say that his idea of what he was trying to do over here, who is trying to tell them, no, it's got to be from a certain rock. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu is telling them, no, it could be from any rock. And it caused a Chilul Hashem. Because all the people were like, really? God can only do this with one certain rock and not with anything else? And really, Hashem was saying, no, of course I can do it from any rock. Just speak to any rock and it'll work by any single rock. And Moshe Rabbeinu never did it that way. It's a crazy, crazy line. In fact, the Rabbeinu Bachaya says, there was water beneath the surface waiting to sprout out from any rock there. The whole field was saturated with water. There was literally a pool underneath this area with all the rocks. It really could have been any rock. You just moved a rock and all of a sudden it would have sprouted forth. But Moshe Rabbeinu understood the Nevuah differently, and therefore everything happened the way it can. I'm just telling you right now, when I was 19 years old, I'd come back from Eretz Yisrael after my first year, and I went to somebody's house, and I told over this Or HaChaim HaKadosh, and the person in the house, if anybody knows Walt Richman, right? So the person was at the house who heard this Dvar Torah. He got angry. He's like, how can you say the Moshe Rabbeinu mistranslated Nevuah? I'm like, that's exactly what the Chai was according to the Or HaChaim HaKadosh. I'm really sorry. But according to the Or HaChaim HaKadosh, that's why you couldn't bring Bnei Yisrael into Eretz Yisrael. I'm really sorry. It's hard to explain. The Or HaChaim HaKadosh at least acknowledges it. He says it's a really hard shot. But that's part of what the issue was. That for the first time ever, and it never happened after this, Moshe Rabbeinu did mess up in this Nevuah in some way, shape, or form. And it's a difficult thing to say, but that's the idea behind it. It's a crazy, crazy line. An unbelievably crazy line. Okay, the Ramban is very against everything like this. The Ramban says, how could it be that he went against the Nevuah that everybody knew, but he does say this over there. But there's another Rashi. I don't know if people know about this Rashi. This Rashi is later on in Perek Lamed Aleph, Pasuk Lamed Aleph, in Bamidbor. Perek Lamed Aleph, Pasuk Lamed Aleph. And he says, everything here, saying these words, was a mistake on his part, and it happened because he got angry. See, Rashi up until now was saying that what he messed up in is by hitting the rock instead of speaking to the rock. And however that happened, the Gurari's way, our way, whatever it is, somehow hitting the rock instead of speaking to the rock, that was his mess up. But according to Rashi and Lamed Aleph, Lamed Aleph, his mistake was that he said this because he got angry. He yelled at the people and sarcastically said, do you think I could bring forth water from this rock? And because of the anger, therefore he was punished for having his emotions get the better part of him. Had he done this in private and just said morim to Hashem, look at these morim, look at these rebellious people. If he would have said that, he would not have been punished so severely. Because in fact, we know this. Moshe Rabbeinu calls the people mamrim hayisim im Hashem. You rebelled against Hashem. He said worse things to HaKadosh Baruch Hu about Bnei Yisrael. But this time he did it to the people publicly, and for that Hashem could not forgive him. Says Rashi, the anger that he had caused him to say something he shouldn't have said, and when he said that, he could not be forgiven. That's the line that that Rashi uses in Lamed Aleph, Lamed Aleph. And that is also what the Rambam says. The Rambam in Shmona Prakim, at the end of the fourth parak, says, similar to Rashi, the real sin was not hitting the rock. That was not the issue. The real sin was the Chilul Hashem, that people saw a man of Moshe Rabbeinu's stature get angry. You can't imagine a gadol of such a level getting angry. In fact, there's a great story told over by Rebbe Wein. Rebbe Wein one time had a student, and he thought that this student would have a very good experience if he would see a gadol b'Yisrael. So he sent him to go see a gadol, unnamed gadol b'Yisrael. He sent him to go see a gadol, and he told him, go sit down and talk to this gadol, and you'll see all your questions will be answered. Now, the problem is, and I think we all understand this, Gedolim don't like wasting their time. That's why they're Gedolim. For 60, 70 years of their life, every second of their day was all about Torah. And then all of a sudden, they have to deal with people. And it's difficult for anyone. But a person who's been always this, I don't want to say antisocial, but the type of person who closes himself up just to sit and learn all day long, you can imagine when a person comes and wastes his time, because that's what we're doing when we ask for brachos and everything, right? We are wasting that gadol's time. You can imagine sometimes the reaction is not as good. This gadol, the Rebbe Wein sent this guy to, did not react well to this guy coming in and asking him questions that he thought were asinine, were not great questions. And he treated it that way. And the gadol said to him, this is not what we should be asking right now. And treated him not like like this guy expected. And it was the worst possible outcome that you can imagine. The worst thing that could happen, the guy was so turned off, he was done. He was like, if that's what a gadol b'Yisrael is, I don't want to be with a gadol b'Yisrael. Now, I know it's difficult because we know if anybody's ever been in to see Rebbe Eliezer or Chaim Kanievsky, he doesn't have time for us. They don't have time for us. And for us to go in, it's really, really difficult to get the couple seconds that you can get. But sometimes it's a little bit, it's strange for other people to see, like, why aren't they nicer? Why aren't they more forgiving? Why aren't they able to bring us in and give us a hug and, like, tell us that they love us like every Eish rabbi would do? And it's difficult to understand, right? That's right there what the Rambam says. To see a man like Moshe Rabbeinu, who they expected these crazy things out of, to all of a sudden get a little bit angry, that affected them. That affected them. Every single person in Klal Yisrael looked up to Moshe Rabbeinu. They saw this malach of a person who was glowing all the time. And especially, what year was this? Year 40 in the Midbar. These kids have grown up with Moshe Rabbeinu. They've grown up with a gogo b'Yisrael and watched every move he makes. Everything he says is the word of God. And at the end of 40 years, they see him get angry. And they couldn't believe it. They couldn't believe it. A Moshe Rabbeinu gets angry? Says the Rambam, that's it. That's it. He could no longer be the leader of Klal Yisrael. And although that's harsh, that's part of how the Rambam understands what had to be over here. And although this is the simplistic explanation of what the Rambam's saying, I'm sure there are many deeper layers over here. But that's the basic idea of how the Rambam puts it. Now, the Ramban knocks out the Rambam with three major questions. But the Tosefes Bracha, or Baruch Epshin, in his Sefer Tosefes Bracha, as well as the Pardes Yosef, they answer all the questions. And in fact, the Pardes Yosef brings down, there's a Rashi in Sanhedrin, the Rashi we mentioned in Perek Lamed Aleph, Lamed Aleph, as well as three Midrashim that say exactly like the Rambam, that says, why was Moshe punished? Because he got angry. It's clear as day that that's the pshat. That at least it's a pshat that works, that the Rambam is saying. That's yet another way to be able to go through. There is something strange. The Rush asks, how could he have gotten angry? Now, this is the Rush, lived about 200 years after the Ramban, 180 years after the Ramban. Same basic area. The Ramban was a little bit southern Spain, and the Rush was a little bit northern Spain. The Rush asks, how is it possible that the greatest Navi of all time could make a mistake and get angry? How could that be? And he says, he answers, anger has the ability to change everything about you. That it causes a Navi to lose his Nevuah, it causes regular Chachamim to lose their wisdom. Anyone who's ever been angry, not me, I've never gotten angry in my life, but anybody who's ever gotten angry knows you don't think straight. Even the Gadol of Gedolim, and that's the reason why this Parsha is here, even the Gedolim Sheba Gedolim, the greatest of the great, will change everything about them when they get angry. Even, and that's the line, and that's the lesson that we're learning from Moshe Rabbeinu over here, at least according to the Rambam itself. The Pardes Yosef brings from the Zohar, the Megali Amukos, and the Chidah, that these words of Moshe Rabbeinu, as well as him hitting the rock, caused there to be future machlokis in Klal Yisrael. That without this anger, there would never be machlokis in Klal Yisrael. But because there was anger, therefore there's machlokis in Klal Yisrael. Based on another Chidah, I think that the way we can answer it is pretty obvious. HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't need us for accusations against the Jews. I mean, there is no reason why HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he has enough malachim and shemayim that are looking to destroy the Jews, where if something went wrong, what does he need us for? What does he need Klal Yisrael to be dan l'chav schus? Why does he need leaders that are shofet Klal Yisrael? And if you look through Sefer Shoftim, and I'm not plugging my Navi Shir online, but RabbiTzvi Zimmerman.com, I am plugging my Navi Shir online. It's, I think, not positive, it is the only Navi Shir that goes through every parak, from Yoshua all the way to Divrei Yamim, all the way through, going through every single parak. I'm pretty sure it's the only one online that does that. And I know it's not on Torah anytime, I'm sorry. But maybe eventually. But my second time around. Yeah, Rebbe Reisman eventually. But right now, it's the only one I think that's there. Yeah, and Rebbe Reisman, we're not comparing myself to him. So it's not going to be like that. But the way the Chidah says it, is that this is exactly what it means. HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't need it for that. Shoftim, Sefer Shoftim, is about making it in a good way, saying these Shoftim were only great because they said the greatest things about Klal Yisrael. They didn't accuse them of doing bad. They showed HaKadosh Baruch Hu they were actually good. Moshe Rabbeinu, King Aviah, Zechariah and Yeshaya were all very great, but because they said bad things about Klal Yisrael, they were all punished severely. Zechariah was killed, Yeshaya was killed, King Aviah was not killed, but punished severely, and Moshe Rabbeinu wasn't allowed into Eretz Yisrael. When Gideon saved the Jews by saying, the Jews are still good people, why aren't you saving them? HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, Lech b'kochacha zed, that's the koach you can use to be a leader. That's the idea behind it. I think when we accuse, that causes bad things to happen, and that seems to be the idea over here. There is a Ksav Sofer that says the opposite of this Rambam. Anybody ever heard this Ksav Sofer? He should have gotten angrier. That was the problem. The problem is not that he got angry. It's that he wasn't angry enough. Shimu na hamorim. Listen, please, O rebellious ones. You don't say the word please in the middle there. Now, you should know, not always does the word na mean please. Like, ano Hashem hoshia na does not mean please Hashem, save us, please. It means please Hashem, save us now. Na also means now. So over here, you could translate it as Shimu na morim, listen now, O rebellious ones. But says the Ksav Sofer, it means listen, please, O rebellious ones. If you're going to accuse the people of doing something bad, tell them they're doing something bad. When you're giving Musar, you got to go all in. And he wasn't mean enough, says the Ksav Sofer. He should have been meaner. He should have been more accusatory. Since he wasn't, he was right in between. That wasn't the right way of telling Musar. Says the Ksav Sofer, that was the problem. There's Torah more over here as well. The Das Akanim says the biggest Kiddush in the world. You probably have heard this Das Akanim before. He says, it cannot be. He says that the words of V'dibartem el haselo did not mean speak to the rock. It never meant that way. V'dibartem el haselo is another way of saying hit the rock. You ever heard this before? It was never to speak to the rock. In Parshas Bishalach, he was told to hit the rock. And over here, he's told to hit the rock. V'dibartem was never speak to the rock. It's while you're hitting the rock, you can speak. But V'dibartem was never supposed to mean that way. And therefore, he was supposed to speak to Bnei Yisrael in front of the rock as he was hitting it. He says, that's why you have to take the mata, kachas amata, to take the step to be able to go through. The sin was that he should have been saying these words, b'derech tfilah v'tachanunim, instead of b'derech musar. He went up and said, can you believe I'm going to bring water from this rock? And then hit it in front of them. What he was supposed to is said, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, please let water come from this rock. And then hit it. Says the Das Akanim, since he didn't speak in the right way, that's why he was punished. Isn't that unbelievable? Has anybody heard that before? That Das Akanim? Unbelievable Das Akanim. Yeah.
Yeah, so, I don't know where the chronological order of the story is with the Jews, but wouldn't it make sense?
40th year, it happened exactly on Yud Nisan.
But, I mean, did it happen after Korach or before Korach?
Definitely after. Could be 39 years after
Korach. So I'm saying, like, this is already a couple times that Hashem's like, I'll destroy them, I'll kill these people. If you want me to wipe them out, I'll wipe them out. He saved them. He saved them a couple times.
Correct.
It's like, enough is enough. Maybe this is just like, what?
The only thing I would say to that is, it's been 38 years since something like that has happened. This is the first event, most likely. If Korach happened around this time, then you're right. If it happened in the 39th year. But it's more likely that Korach was earlier. This may be the first event in 38 years, and most of the people who are involved in that are already dead. The Meraglim are almost all dead by this time, so it does seem a little strange. The people are not used to this.
Sin.
That's the purpose of a Midbar, yeah.
Yeah. But it's repetitive. You can't blame Moshe for being frustrated.
I can always blame everybody for everything. I can. I'm not going to. But yes, I can blame everyone for anything. But the point is that Moshe Rabbeinu over here, as great as he was, he is Moshe Rabbeinu. And that's something that we expect even when things go there. Listen, a principal of a school cannot take a moment and be like, well, I was good the first 364 days. 365, I just went ballistic. You can't do that. A principal, any Rebbe, any teacher has to keep their cool at any point because just one time, I only hit the kid once. I mean, what's the big deal, right? Clearly that is a big deal. You can't allow that. I'm sorry? Right, I only run over a kid with, that's not a good thing, right? But either way, you get around there. The Ramban himself, the Rush and the Das Akanim in his second shot, says the problem was something different. Moshe Rabbeinu said the wrong word. HaMenasela zeh Yotzi Lochamayim. It should be Yotzi Hashem Lochamayim. The wording should be, from this rock Hashem will bring forth water. He shouldn't have said, Notzi lachem, we will bring forth water. He should have said, Yotzi Hashem lachem mayim. And that was the problem. The fact that he said that, and he did, it has nothing to do with hitting the rock, nothing to do with saying the word morim. Morim is okay. Hitting the rock is okay. None of those things were problems. Yotzi versus Notzi, attributing it to himself, and saying, we are going to bring forth water, and Aaron not complaining about it, that was the major issue. That was the issue over here. Now, obviously, they never would have messed up what HaKadosh Baruch Hu told them to do. There's no way that they actually meant it that way. But because of the other things going on, Moshe Rabbeinu's wording was not exact, and that led to one of the major problems over here. Even the Chizkuni goes with this shot and says he should have been more explicit. He should have explained what he meant. He didn't say what he meant. You got to say it out loud. This is what I mean, guys. This is what you need to do. And he didn't do it. Ksav Sofer says, this is really Perek Yavos, Perek Aleph, Mishnah Yod Aleph. Chachamim, Hizar v'divreichem. Be careful with your words. Shema tachovu tchovas galus. Maybe you're going to go into galus and you're going to say something that people are going to misunderstand you. You can't have that happen. You have to be careful with everything you say. And that's the idea of what's happening. Moshe Aaron certainly didn't mean to say notzi as in we're going to bring forth. But it came out that way. It came out that way. It came out as if they were wording that way. It's kind of obvious, right? The Chassam Sofer says it, and there's a much more obvious reason why notzi could not be used by Moshe Rabbeinu. This generation was the new generation, right? They grew up seeing Moshe Rabbeinu as this glowing figure who talked to God. They thought of him as a lowercase g God. According to the Meshech Chachma, the reason why Moshe Rabbeinu could never go to Eretz Yisrael is because they thought he couldn't die. They thought he was a god. So if he would go into Eretz Yisrael alive and go through and never die, they would have said, like, see, he's a god. They grew up thinking he was the greatest malach that could possibly be. According to the Chassam Sofer in Drashos, that's the reason why you could never say notzi. When he said that, he fed their suspicions. They already thought he was a god. And now all of a sudden he's saying, we should bring forth water. They're like, oh, we got him. We always knew he was a god. We always knew he was doing it himself. And now he said it with his own words. Guys, we've seen it in our own generation. With people saying things, maybe not even saying it, but hinting to it, and other people taking it as a sign that this man is the Messiah. We've had it. If you were alive at the times of Yashka, I don't know how old you are, but you have the idea. The idea is there. It's not like it's so far to understand. All you need is one person to say, or not even just not say something in the right proper way. And look at what people can do, what fools can do, what anybody can do in such a situation. You have to be so careful with everything you say. By Moshe Rabbeinu saying the word notzi instead of yotzi, you see he was feeding their fear. Says the Chassam Sofer, he could not live after that point. He had to die before they went into Eretz Yisrael so that they would know that he wasn't like them. It's a really good. There's another Chassam Sofer here, which is beautiful, absolutely beautiful, which we're skipping because how much time do I have? Do I have like 3 minutes left? I do, right? There's Rav Hirsch over here, Ksav HaKabbalah over here, a Malbim, which is beautiful. The difference between Kahal and Ada. Kahal is the people coming in at random. Ada is getting them all together at one. There's Rav Schwab that was supposed to be the staff of Aaron, and he took his own staff of Moshe, you know, crazy stuff from there. The Tzor Amor, which is all about the Mun. The Tzor Amor says, you know, you never needed to drink in the Midbar. You never needed to drink water in the Midbar. You know why? Because the Mun didn't make you thirsty. There was no need for water. So when they saw there was no water left, who cares? No one's going to die because there's no thirst in the Midbar. There was no issue. And in fact, even if they wanted water, you could get it every morning. What did the Mun come down with?
No.
Dew. It had dew on top and dew on the bottom. And it had a shikvas tal. It was as if you had a whole cup of water on the bottom, cup of water on top, where you could just pick it up and drink it. You had no problem with water in the Midbar. There were no issues. And they were surrounded by clouds, not like it was really hot, where they were sitting there and burning, and you need more and more and more water. Water was not an issue, says the Tzor Amor. That wasn't the issue. What Moshe Rabbeinu was telling them was, miracles like that, where you don't need water, only happen at Tzadikim. And if you act this way, you're like Morim, you're rebellious people, you're never going to get it. There's a Tfar Shlomo, the Tam Adas, and an Itziv. I'm going to end with this Chassam Sofer, one of the greatest pshatim in the world. If you've heard this before, then bear with me over here. He says in Toras Moshe, there is a Shem HaKadosh known as Yabok. Nachal Yabok, where Yaakov Avinu crossed to get from one side to the other for the Pachim Ketanin. Yabok is Yud Beis Kuf. Yud Beis Kuf is the gematria of 112. 112 is the gematria of three Shemos of Hashem. There is the Shem Aleph Hei Yud Hei, that's 21. The Shem Yud Kei Vav Kei, 26. And Aleph Dalid Nun Yud, which is 65. 65 plus 26 plus 21 is 112. Okay, so Yud Beis Kuf, that Yabok, Nachal Yabok, stands for those three Shemos of Hashem. There are three things that we have in this world. There's Machshava, there's Dibor, and then there's Maisa. Machshava is represented by Aleph Hei Yud Hei. Dibor is represented by Yud Kei Vav Kei. Maisa is represented by Aleph Dalid Nun Yud. And if we really wanted to, I'm sure you could figure out a way to understand that, especially with Aleph, Dalet, Nun, Yud, and Maisa, etc. You could really go through that, but who knows? This is not for us. The name to bring forth water from a rock, the name of Hashem, that what he was supposed to speak to the rock, he was supposed to speak to the rock. There was a word to say, a shame of Hashem to say, that if he said this name, the water would have come forth. You know what that name was? Miriam. Miriam was the name to say to the rock. And if he would have said the word Miriam to the rock, everything would have been fine. But he got angry, which affected his machshava. The shame Aleph Hei Yud Hei was pogum. That caused the Dibor, the Yud Kei Vav Kei, to be messed up. And when he spoke out the wrong name. Instead of saying the word Miriam, he said, does anybody get it yet?
Morim.
Morim is spelled in the Torah, Mem Resh Yud Mem, the same way you'd have Miriam. He was saying the right word, but he pronounced it the wrong way. So instead of saying Shimuna Miriam, he said Shimuna HaMorim. And he said the word Morim and said, listen to this, Miriam, even the Nekudos have a gematria. Miriam is made up of a Chirik. A Chirik is a Yud that counts as 10. Shva. Shva is two Yuds, that's 20, that's 30 altogether. Yom is a Komatz, a Vav and a Yud. So that's another 16. 30 plus 16 is 46. Instead of saying Miriam, he said Morim. Morim is a Cholam, that's 10, and a Chirik, that's 10, that's 20. 46 minus 20 is 26. He messed up the shame, Yud Kei Vav Kei, of Dibor when speaking. That instead of saying Miriam, he said Hamorim. And that's how he said, instead of saying Yotzi Hashem Lachem Mayim, where it should have been the shame Hashem, Yud Kei Vav Kei, instead he said Notzi Lachem Mayim. It was Notzi instead. One could even say Yotzi would have been Yud Sadi Yud Aleph. Instead, Notzi, as in Nun Vav, the difference between Nun Vav and Yud is 46 altogether. Nun Vav minus Yud is altogether 46. That's the pshat behind it. There is another pshat in the Mole Aroim that it's really Hamin, Hamem Nun was the right shame. That's what he was trying to use. But you see what's going on here? There's so much behind the scenes. We've gone through about 10 of the answers of the 18 that we could have done. But there's so much going on behind what Moshe Rabbeinu is. Even Moshe Rabbeinu had everything in mind. But the main point of this shir, the main flux of this shir is, do you see what anger does to a person? How it causes even the greatest of the great to forget where they are or who they are as a person. We'll stop with that, everybody. Have a great Shabbos.